A certain ruler came up and adored him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This comes from the proper last gospel for today, the gospel from the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. St. Vincent Ferrer became known as a miracle worker. In fact, he was so renowned for working miracles that they ended up getting a bell for him. That every time he worked a miracle, somebody would ring the bell to let the town know that another miracle had been worked by St. Vincent Ferrer. And it became so frequent that he was working miracles and that people were coming to him with intentions and needs for him to petition heaven and suspend the rules of nature, that it became a distraction and a difficulty on his own religious community. And so at a certain point, his superior, the prior, he made a rule for St. Vincent Ferrer. He said that he wasn't allowed to work any miracles unless he got permission from him, the prior, first. It was necessary to keep proper order for the house. One day, as it would be, there was a group of men all working high up on top of a rock wall. There were masons building up the roof for the building at the prison. And it was quite tall of a building. And as they were working, and St. Vincent Ferrer was walking by, all of a sudden one of the masons began to lose his balance, and it became apparent to him as he waved his arms and tried to catch himself, he was not going to be successful, and he was about to fall off the roof to either great injury or even potentially to his death. And as he flailed his arms, he looked down at the ground, which was going to soon zoom up at him, and he saw St. Vincent Ferrer walking by. "Friar Vincent! Friar Vincent!" he called out. And then he began to tumble. The saint looked up and, seeing the man beginning his free fall, said to him, "Stay right there until I come back." And with that, the man was suspended in the air, partway down from the building. St. Vincent Ferrer ran immediately to the prior. And having arrived at the prior's place, he said to him, "Father, a man has fallen off the roof and is asking me to help him. So he's waiting where he is until I have your permission." The prior said, "Waiting?" Vincent said, "Yes, he's waiting." And the prior said, "Well, you better go back and finish it off. Surely there's a crowd gathering." St. Vincent Ferrer returned, and indeed there was a large crowd of men, all staring up, mouths agape at what they were witnessing. And Vincent, arriving, simply looked up and said, "The prior says you may come down now." And with that, the man floated gently down to the ground, safe and sound. The virtue of humility, it's when a person considers his own defects and willingly submits himself to God and his superiors for God's sake. St. Bernard says that humility is a virtue by which a man, knowing himself as he truly is, abases himself. That is to say that he sees himself, a humble man sees himself as God sees him, in all honesty, with all of his faults laid out before him and not hiding from them, and recognizing in himself the things that are good are only there because they are from heaven and they are gifts from God, what he possesses. But his faults, they are his own, and he must own them. And so it is a little bit puzzling when we see that our Lord instructs us to learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart. As God, he has no faults. There is nothing to lay bare in the way of error or defection in him. Yet our Lord is humble because he is honest, he is truth itself, and moreover, because he does submit himself as the God-man to authority on earth. St. Thomas explains this when he says that when we are called to imitate Christ's humility, it is not the humility of the divine person of Christ, but the human person, because God has no superior. But as Christ became man and brought himself down to human nature and submitted himself to the will of the Father and allowed himself to be subject to laws here on earth and to be mocked by man and to embrace an ignominious death, that all of this is a part of that virtue of humility. And we celebrate today the feast of Christ the King. So why talk about humility when we recognize the exalted position of Christ Almighty? It is because that virtue is not divorced of his place as the Creator and King of all creation, but rather it is intimately connected with the example that he gives us when he came to save us. In life, our Lord chose to be crowned, not by diadems as he deserved, but by piercing thorns. He chose not to hold a scepter of power within his hand, but to be handed a wooden reed. He chose not to wear plush and comfortable kingly robes, but rather to have the coarse purple placed upon his wounds and to adhere to them. And then to have his adorners kneel down in false and mocking adoration, to spit upon him, and to deliver blows unto him in a way that was truly unfitting of the King that he is. He chose in his life not to be placed upon the throne, but rather upon a cross. And he is thus humbled so that he can save us. And he is thus humbled so that he can call us to that very virtue of humility. And he is thus humbled so that we have the perfect example to follow thereafter. Because it is a virtue which is necessary for salvation. Think of the repercussions of pride to mankind in the world, the vice contrary to humility. Society crumbles because man chooses rulers who seek their own power and exaltation rather the good and the responsibility over whose care they are committed to. Families, they are toppled because members do not embrace their proper roles. Men fail in masculinity. They fail to lead because of comfort and cowardice and ease. They fail to embrace their role as commanded by God, but also while commanding and leading their family, fail to subject themselves to the precepts of one who is greater than he. Or they seek their own wants and their own desires instead of seeking first the service of those who are committed to his care, his wife and his children. We see families crumble because women struggle in the idea of subjection to their husbands. Instead, focusing upon his defects, rather than embracing and praising his virtues, focusing on his faults, rather than aiding and lifting him up higher than the day before, so he may be more perfect in his role. And children, it is so easy to see so many who openly and unhesitatingly dishonor and disobey their parents, cause discord and disorder, and all because it is tolerated by their parents. We see in the world, worldlings reject God and do not submit to divine authority. Heretics turn away from the teachings of the church in order to service their own ideas and take credit for them. And man serves himself with vice rather than follow the laws of God and work hard at the ways of virtue. And all of this because of pride. Because Adam had come before us and chose to be like a god rather than obey the one true God. And all tempted by angels fallen from heaven because of their pride. And so we, the faithful Christians who want to strive and work at perfection to sanctify ourselves and save our souls, thus called to humility, how is it that we are able to imitate Christ in his virtue? First and foremost, as being virtuous, we must recognize that the aid of supernatural grace is necessary to assist us along that way. And so, to pray for humility is an important aspect of our spiritual lives, so that we can see what is true about our lives, about our souls, about how God sees us. And so that we, in realizing the truth, can then act upon it appropriately. From there, we must focus to do what the things which God calls us to do as a primary aspect of our lives. To see for each and every one of us that our vocation is something that must be constantly lived in our lives. The duties that it entails, the responsibilities that it has, these things must be embraced and followed after and perfected day by day. That the commandments that God has given us to follow after, that these things are not merely meant to simply avoid mortal sin, but rather to provide us also a way to begin to overcome our faults and failings, to grow in a way of virtues contrary to the vices that are contained therein, so that we may please God more, and to realize that that pathway of practicing the virtues in life is how we continue to appear more and more perfect in God's eyes. Humility is as well important for us to attribute all the gifts that we have and the strengths that we possess and the things that we do well as gifts coming down from heaven. Not claiming them as our own, not being braggadocious about them in our speech, not looking upon what we are capable of as some sort of achievement for ourselves, but rather to return thanks and gratitude for God allowing us to show his perfection in small ways by the things he has implemented within our own selves. Humility necessitates the embracing and accepting of humiliations, that these things should not be turned away from and rejected and fled from, but rather recognized for their truthfulness when they come. That seeing therein that there tends to almost always be a lesson for us to be learned and a progress to be made. Humility necessitates for us that we should be quick to apologize when we offend, rapid in our confession when we sin, and swift to forgive when we ourselves are offended. And, as St. Thomas Aquinas explains, humility is to see the virtues in our neighbor, which we may not see readily in ourselves, and to recognize the faults in ourselves, which we may not see in our neighbor. If there is accusation to be made, it is towards me. I am the sinner. I am the one who knows what I have done and how I have failed and where I need to grow. But in others, it is virtue that I must focus upon and look towards and appreciate. By growing in humility, it is by this we honor Christ our King, that we follow after him in his footsteps, that we imitate him in his example. And by this very important virtue, it is the means by which we will one day find ourselves placed in his heavenly kingdom. May God bless.